Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Now, listen, good management always attracts resources. God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God. He only gives good gifts to His children. And what does He do? He expects His people to manage what He has given to them, to add value to it.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for continuing to join us for Revive Radio. We pray this recent sermon series has been a blessing to you. Let's continue in this sermon series. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 3. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Hope is empty if it doesn't have faith. What does that mean? It means it makes a difference where your faith is placed. Faith and hope must be mixed together, and in a crisis or out of a crisis, the only sure foundation is placing your faith exclusively in Christ and Him crucified. It is the one place where sin is dealt with, where sickness is dealt with, and where every answer that I have comes through the vine. Write this down. Hope without faith is hype. It's not real hope. I hear a lot of hyping. Oh, it's going to be better. And I'm all about thinking positive about it. I saw people saying, you know what, look at the numbers of people that have been healed. And that's good. But ladies and gentlemen, you're facing a crisis right now, every moment of your life. And in the days that are ahead, your mind and the anxiousness and the stress and pressure that's going on is already driving people to do things that is outside of the character of Christ. Some people that say that they're Christians and they're doing things outside of the character of Christ. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to hold you steady in this crisis is to nail it to the cross and keep your faith there, and then you've got real hope to depend upon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5, the Bible says that God gave to Adam work first to do in the creation. So write this down. Work equals, or is the same word as, management, found in the scripture in Genesis chapter number 2. So the question is, can you manage what's in your hands right now? I hear people talking about, oh, I don't want $1 million. If you don't have $1 million problem, you can't manage the $10 you've got. God's not going to give you $10 million. If you can't take care and clean that, I talked to somebody yesterday. They said, yeah, we have been spring cleaning our house. One wife that I was talking to, one of the pastors, they said, you know what? I've got to stop him because he's about to throw everything out of the closet and everything out of it because he's spring cleaning so much. Can I tell you something? If you don't manage your house, you won't have one. People talk about, oh, I need a new car. Are you cleaning the bicycle you're riding on? Come on, somebody. It's going to get deep in here. Somebody will give me some thumbs up and some hearts right now because it might get a little tight for you. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, God asked the question of Moses, hey, Moses, here's a crisis, Moses. What's in your hand? He responded, a rod. Everything that was necessary came through the power that was in his hand. Elisha, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible says that the prophet Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. And then he said this, what do you have of value in your house? And she said, I've only got this little pot of oil. Do you know out of that little thing came an abundance that she never, in the middle of a famine, in the middle of her crisis, she never went without because God supplied her need when she confessed, I'm going to use what I've got. Look at Matthew chapter 14. The Bible says, here's the people getting ready to be fed. And Jesus asked the disciples, what have you got to feed these people? And they said, well, we can't feed them. He said, I know you can't. You need me. What do you got? He said, we got this small boy's lunch. They bring the lunch over, the fish and loaves. He said, bring that to me. He took it, blessed it, and what would only fed one little boy now feeds 5,000, watch this, with leftovers. Whatever you fail to manage, you will lose. If you fail to manage your body and your health, you'll lose it. Your marriage, if you don't manage your marriage, you will lose it. If you don't manage your health, you will lose it. If you don't manage your money, you will lose it. This is the principles of God's word. If you don't manage your family, you will lose it. If you don't manage the church, you will lose that church. If you don't manage those employees, you will lose employees. Good ones will walk off from you. If you don't manage your resources, then you will see it slide through your hands like butter. If you don't manage your house and take care of your house and cut your grass, come on, somebody, paint your house, pressure wash your house. If you don't take care of that house, how do you think God is going to give you anything greater? It's all about management. Write it down. God will trust the person who knows how to manage his resources. Everything we have belong to God first. You better get that in your mind. You are not the owner. You are the manager. God is the owner. He is the Lord of all. The word Lord means owner. So God is the landlord of everything you have. He's given it to us for a short period of time to manage it. And now we're looking at this crisis, ladies and gentlemen, that is in front of us, that is all of a sudden giving us a clear illustrated message of the fact that life is a vapor. And we have this block of time, and the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs that our times are determined by God, so he knows what the end of this thing is going to be, but he has given to us all of the resources necessary for us to not only be a blessing to other people, but to be blessed. Now listen, good management always attracts resources. God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God. He only gives good gifts to his children. And what does he do? He expects his people to manage what he has given to them, to add value to it. I've heard that term used before, and I really started meditating upon it, about adding value. So when God gives it to you, he expects it to increase in your hands, to add value to your gift. By learning more about your gift, by instruction and training about what God has given to you, by using your gift wherever the need presents itself. Write this down. Adding value is increasing what God has given to you. Adding value to something. Rita brought home a Easter lily today, and it's beautiful, and it's already blooming. It's wonderful, but it doesn't have the wrapping, and it's just the green pot that it was grown in. And I started looking at it. I said, you know what? If we wanted to add value to this plant, we would put some wrapping paper around it, maybe a bow on there, and it would increase the value of that plant. That's what needs to happen with our life. When God gives us stuff to manage, he wants us to increase, add value to it and increase the value simply because we came into the situation. Let me say it like this. I told Rita this afternoon, we've been married for 36 years, isn't that right? I hope you're telling, she's not telling me nothing. She's leaving me out here, hanging out here to dry. I think it's 36 years. I probably will get in trouble immediately after this service is over with. Whatever it was, some odd years, I just want you to know that if I didn't add value into her life, then what good am I being there? If all I am is draining the energy from her life and just not adding anything to it, I'm not praying for her, I'm not increasing her. Listen, I want her to be able to be her best. So you know what? I work hard so she can wear that stuff she wears and smell good like she does, all that kind of stuff, because I want to add value to her life. Same thing with me. And when you do that, it's reciprocating. It's coming back to you. Prayer, hear this. Write it down. Prayer will not get more resources if you don't manage the resources you have. Somebody talking about, oh, I'm praying about it. Ooh, I'm going to ask God for it. If you're not taking care of what you've got right now, prayer won't get you there. Because why? Because God is not wasteful. When he multiplied all those fish and loaves and passed them out, and here they are, they're passing them out, and everybody, the Bible says, gets full, then what happens? God himself says, what's left? Pick up everything that's out there. Pick up all the leftovers and bring it to me. And they picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to tell you, if you know anything about anything about cooking whatsoever. You got somebody that cooks good in your house. If they do it right, the leftovers are generally better than the first overs. He took everything that were fragments and brought them again. And I don't believe it was an accident that he picked up 12 basketfuls, because he sent all the disciples who had just blessed everybody else out there with a basketful for them in their house. That's what management does. What will you do with what you have? Well, in this time, this is not the time to be running out buying new cars and opening up. You know, I'm not going to get online and start buying a bunch of stuff. You need to understand that this is a time to conserve. This is a time to save. This is a time to sacrifice. This is a time to be very careful about what you purchase. That was practical. Write this down. It's not on your paper. The greatest protection against disappointment in your life is the expectation of a change that's going to happen. Some of you may be feeling depressed tonight because of all that's going on, and you may be listening to the news too much. But hear what I'm about to tell you. Change is coming. And guess who's in charge of the change? God Almighty. And you know what he says? I'm going to make it better than it was before. And here's the closing line that he says, and you can keep the change. That's exactly what you want to happen in your life. Man, that's a good place for somebody to shout right there. All right. So the most important approach to dealing with change is to expect it. This season is not going to last forever. When is it going to stop? I don't know. But I'm going to be a good manager between now and the time that this thing is over and after that, because I'm trusting in the principles of God's word. Here's a few things that's not on your paper. When what you are doing is no longer effective, it's a season of change. When the people around you begin to become an irritation instead of a blessing, it's time for a change. When all your efforts seem to be causing more stress on you than fulfillment, time for a change. When the winter comes and everything cooperates with it, don't fight the winter. Adapt to it, because at some point it's going to change. When the season changes and suddenly the things that were against you begin to work for you, people against you now become support and help. Ladies and gentlemen, keep the change. Tradition is the greatest enemy of change. Here's the term. I've heard it one time. I've heard it 100. Well, we've never done it like that. Well, guess what? I understand that completely. And the older you get, the more you have to fight against the things that you get comfortable with. But I want you to know there comes a time when you've got to cast aside what is not working anymore. I'm about to preach up here. You got to be ready and sensitive to the moment when what you've been managing is not supposed to be managed by you anymore. Let me give you a quick example before we move on. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. Why is it so critical to understand the principle right here and God's system of thinking and operating? Because when God says it's time to move, it's time to get up and move. When the Lord gets ready, it's time to move. Seasons are going to change. And you manage in this season, and God prepares you for the next season. So, when you do understand this biblical principle, it's going to help you to be able to let go of some things and reach forward to the God's best that he already has in store for your life. Hear what I'm telling you. New strategies, new thoughts. There are people right now who a few days ago were not thinking anything about building and making these masks for people. But now they have got a business that's going that they're building masks and all kinds of stuff that's taking place. Out of a crisis is coming new leadership, new ideas, new thinking. I came to tell you right here at this church, we've branched out to do things that we've never done before just like this. Most every other pastor is doing the same thing. You know why? Because the crisis has forced us to move and let go of some of our traditional ways of thinking in order to manage the new anointing that's coming upon the life of people. Hear what I'm telling you. I want to say this and make a declaration to you. It might be on your paper, it might not. Get this in your spirit. The anointing has left the jawbone.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.